Amen for that song. If you don't know what happened, then something probably didn't happen. I remember when it happened to me, when Jesus saved me. I remember 1978 when I went into a room and I got on my hands and knees and it happened. He saved me. And I got up off my hands and knees and I knew I was born again. And I ought to know because it was me that was there and it was Jesus that saved me. And I'm grateful for that. I appreciate the prayers. Many have asked how my father's doing. We had a meeting yesterday with the doctors. He had a heart attack last Saturday. And he's not responsive as far as with any brain activity, with brain activity as much as the doctors would like to see. All of his organs and everything are working fine, but there's very little brain activity, they're saying. So we're trusting God. They're putting a trach in tomorrow and a feeding tube tomorrow, and we're trusting God for a miracle. But we do appreciate the prayers and everybody asking how he's doing. We're asking for a miracle from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles and look in them in the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Luke chapter 19, very familiar story. Kids sing the song. I want to talk today about a man named Zacchaeus. And Jesus, verse number 1, entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the thief, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest. We're talking about Jesus. That he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a yucky sinner. I love that part. I love that part. That he went to be a guest of a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, for just another opportunity to be in your house. Father, I ask as we look into your word, I pray that you would guide and direct my thoughts. Father, we're burdened today, Father. God, for the lost, we're burdened for families, God, for souls. And Father, I pray that you would help us get a glimpse of you again today. Father, I pray that we would do something with it today. Father, that we would go out, God, different from what we came in. God, that each and every one of us would make a decision, would determine to make a decision that as we leave this place, something is going to change. And we'll give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Zacchaeus was a bad guy. Zacchaeus, as we understand, was, when we were growing up, most of us old folks would know this term. He was a revenue man. He was a tax collector. And in the city of Jericho, the Bible tells us he was the main man. He was the chief tax collector. And the Bible says that he was rich. And it's understood that he got rich because he would go to people's homes to collect taxes. And in those homes, he would collect more taxes than what was due. If $10 was due, he would add $5 to it. He would add more to the taxes than what the people actually owed. And the people, like today, could do nothing about it. It's like us. We can do nothing about our taxes. And we just get mad. And that's what the people there did. They got mad. And when they saw Zacchaeus coming, they probably shut the door. And he probably put something on the door, nailed some papers on the door saying, well, you know we're coming back and we got to get these taxes. We're going to garnish your wages. We're going to put a lock on the checkbook. We're going to get our money, Zacchaeus would say. You're going to pay. Zacchaeus heard today that Jesus was coming to town. And Zacchaeus heard a lot about this character, Jesus. He heard a lot about this man who they called Jesus. And he heard about what everybody would say about this guy. He would heal the sick. He would make the blind to see. He even went up to a dead man and he made a dead man get up. Zacchaeus was curious about this man called Jesus. And he heard that he was coming to Jericho. He heard that he was coming to town. So the Bible says that on this day, a lot of people came out to see Jesus. They came out to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus came out and he saw the crowds. And the Bible says he's trying to get to the crowds, but I can only imagine as he was trying to get to the crowds, as he was trying to say, excuse me, people were saying, get away from me, Zacchaeus, get back, are you going to give me a break on my taxes if I let you go? Get away from me. And he wanted to get up and see Jesus. So he saw a tree, and it was a sycamore tree. And his curiosity was getting the best of him because he wanted to see Jesus. So he went over to that tree. He went over to that tree, and the Bible tells us he climbed that tree because he wanted to see Jesus, for the Lord he wanted to see. The Bible says, we know the story, Jesus passed by and saw him. What an amazing thought. Don't ever think Jesus don't see you. No matter where you are, Jesus sees you. But Zacchaeus, with his curiosity, he climbed up that sycamore tree. And I wonder today how many people have come to church in this building today because you're curious. You're curious. You've heard about this character, Jesus. And you're a little curious today, so you come to church and you're climbing the sycamore tree because you just want to hear what the preacher has to say about this character, Jesus. I don't think when Zacchaeus climbed that sycamore tree, I don't think he had any intentions of doing what he did. You know the story. Jesus went to his house, he got saved, and he changed. But when he climbed that sycamore tree, I don't think he had any intentions of leaving, climbing down from that sycamore tree and going home and getting saved. I don't think he had any intentions. And I can only imagine there's probably someone in here that has no intention. You've climbed the sycamore tree today for the Lord you wanted to see. You knew what you were going to get when you came into this place. You knew who you were going to hear about when you came into this place. For the Lord you wanted to hear about. But I can only imagine that there's someone in here. You're going to walk out that door today, and nothing is going to change. Because you came in with no intention of changing anything. You are curious because you want to know. But if Jesus were to come to your house today, what would need to be done? I learned this the hard way when it comes to our house and wives. I remember calling, this is when I first got married, I remember calling Sung Soo and telling her, hey, I'm bringing some visitors over. Yeah, it is quiet. I'm bringing some visitors over. What? Okay, click. And we went home. The visitors came over. And I walked in, and Sung Soo was, I think she was downstairs, and she was almost in tears. And I couldn't figure out why. I'm like, what's wrong? And she had to put on this, you know, for the visitor. And then I remembered, it's not that my house was a wreck, but I knew, because when I walked in the house, I said, wow. Wow. I knew that when I walked into the house, I knew it was changed. And I knew I had better not look in one closet. Not one closet door better come open. You say, why? You know why. Because something happened. From the time I made that phone call to the time I got to the house, something happened. God wants to come to our houses today. How will you receive Him? How will you receive Jesus? Will you receive Him heartily? Do you have anything to hide? Will you receive Him no matter what others may say? When Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house, you know what the people did? The people, they murmured. You know why? Because they said Zacchaeus was a tithe. Amen. They said, Zacchaeus, he's a tithe. He's not one of those, you know, those guys that, okay, I am now. I'm in a suit and tie now. But he's not one of those, you know, high fluting guys. He's not one of those, you know, those big important people. He's going to a house of a sinner. They murmured, what is Jesus, a good man, the Savior, what is he doing? Going to the house of a sinner. You know where Jesus wants to go today? He wants to go to your house. Are you a sinner? And they murmured. Would you receive Him as the Lord of your life? Would you place your substance under the control of His laws? Some of us, it's really hard to answer some of these questions. But we need to be ready to invite this heavenly guest to our house. I'm under a time constraint for my kids. They said, Dad, you know, you can't be long. I don't know what they're going to do if I am. But they kind of put a restraint on Dad today. So we will go quickly today. Today I want to look at what we must do if Christ is to abide with us. First of all, we must be ready to face objections. We must be ready to face objections. Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. This is a story of Naaman. 2 Kings 5 verse number 10. The Bible says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover me. Naaman was a leper. He had the disease of leprosy. His skin was all, it was being eaten up. And he got word that there was a man that could help him. This man's name was Elisha. So Naaman, he packed himself and he went to where Elisha was. Naaman wasn't a very important man. He was a very important man, and he got to Elisha's residence. And someone went in and told Elisha, they said, "Elisha, this very important man, Naaman, is outside. He's outside and he wants to see you." And the man of God, Elisha, never came out. Naaman was told by the servant, Gehazi. Gehazi went out and said, "Naaman," Elisha said to go to the River Jordan and dunk yourself 7 times. Naaman, I can see him standing there, this important man, looking and saying, "What?" The River Jordan was a nasty river. It was a dirty river. Here we are at a crossroad. Naaman gets mad. He says, "What? Doesn't that man of God know who I am? You go tell that man of God who's out here. Go tell that man of God. Go tell that man of God that Naaman is out here. There's other rivers that I can go dunk in that are cleaner than the River Jordan. Go tell him." If Elisha wanted to, Naaman said, he could just wave his hands, "Come out and just speak it, and I'll be made whole. Go talk to him and go tell him I don't like what he said." Elisha didn't budge. Naaman had to go out, and Naaman had to dunk himself in that river 7 times, and he did. And when he came up the 7th time, the Bible says his skin was made whole. Sometimes we're told to do something, and we don't like it. We just don't like it. When I think of the sports arena, I coach wrestling. And years ago, we had a wrestling tournament. I don't know if Dean would remember this. But we had a wrestling tournament at Hobart High School. At Hobart. It was our little kids. And I was coaching one of my boys. And my boy won. And the ref made a call at the end of the match. And my boy won. Not my own son, but one of my kids that I was coaching. And when he won, the dad got mad. He got really mad. And when he got mad, he came running over across the mat. I was standing by the door. He came running across the mat to me. And he started yelling at me. "That was cheating. You were cheating. Your boy cheated. He cheated. They did this. Let's go outside." And I'm standing there saying, "Okay, we can go outside. We want to go outside? We can go outside." But I remember saying, "I didn't make the call. I didn't make the call." We're going through something now. And I don't like the call. What I see happening, I just don't like the call. And all of us face things in our lives. And sometimes we face things that we just don't like. But when God is making the call, you have to face the objection. I was talking to a lady in Gary who will not come out of her home because she just can't come to grips with the call that God made. And I said, you have to trust Jesus. It's hard. You have to trust Him. It's hard. You see, when God comes to our house, we got to be ready to face some objections. We got to get ready. We got to get ready to, when He comes in and He points some things out, we got to get ready to say, you know what? That's right. Secondly, we must get rid of what He tells us, no matter the cost. We must get rid of what He tells us, no matter the cost. If Jesus is to come to our house, we must get rid of what He tells us, no matter the cost. Now, here's the problem. We're living in a good day, but most of us, if you were to come to my house, you're going to come to my house. And that's just how we are. It's my house. I'm not going to let somebody come to my house and tell me to do things at my house. You know, come in and say, oh, you know what? That couch, you need to get rid of that couch. Just take it outside and take it to the front. Right now, take it to the front. Okay, how about you go to the front? You know, this is my house. Now, Jesus doesn't do that. But Jesus will come to our house, our spiritual homes, and He'll say, hey, Todd, you got to deal with Michael Jackson. That was mine years ago. You got to deal with Michael Jackson. You got to deal with that music. If anybody knows me, and I know I've used this illustration before, in his early years. That was the man. Oh, yeah. And if I was to continue to go forward in my Christian life like God wanted me to go forward, I had to deal with that music. Some may have to deal with a drinking problem. Some may have to deal with a smoking problem. Some may have to deal with a friend. I don't know. But we got to get rid of whatever He tells us. We got to get rid of it. The Bible tells us a story about another rich man. The rich young ruler who went to Jesus. He went to Jesus, and the Bible says he came and said, Jesus, I'm lacking something. Jesus said, go out and do a couple of things. Go out and do something. And the rich man said, I can't do it. It's just too hard. Jesus told him to go out and sell his stuff. The rich man said, I can't do it. Contrast of the two stories. One rich man said, I can't do it. Today he's probably burning in a Christless hell. And here's another rich man, Zacchaeus, who said, I'm going to change. Who's in heaven today? I don't know what it may be that God is dealing with your heart about. But if God is dividing our hearts, we need to get rid of whatever God tells us to get rid of. Number three. Don't admit no one who will grieve our heavenly guests. Don't admit anyone who will grieve the heavenly guests. John 10:10, I'll read it. John 10:10 says this. I know most of you know this. The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Devil wants into your house. The enemy wants into your house. Don't let him in. How does he come in? You have to let him in. One thing. Maybe it's the computer. Just heard about another friend of ours who's in jail because of stuff on his computer. I say it like this. The TV has slain his thousands. The computer has slain his tens of thousands. I don't know anybody in jail because of what they watched on TV. But I can go down the list and tell you how many have gone to jail because of the computer and what they watch on the computer. Don't admit anybody into your house that don't belong there. Some say, I keep fighting. Could it be the reason why the devil keeps coming back and fighting you? Could it be the fact that maybe you have something in your house that belongs to him? He keeps coming back. Well, what do you have that he wants? What do you have that belongs to him? Get rid of it. If God is going to abide, and God wants to abide, and he wants to abide in the house of a sinner, in my house, we got to deal with some things, folks. We got to deal with it. Don't go the wrong way. There's story after story after story that goes through my mind of good people that let the enemy in. And all of us adults, there's a lot of teenagers in here. All of us adults know this. That the enemy is trying to get in and destroy this group of young people here today. And I'm telling you, adults, some of these kids need some help. They need some help. Adults, it's time for us to start opening our mouths. Yes, maybe the devil has gotten into you and he's hurt you and he's destroyed you and he's mangled you. But stop and think. Do you want that to happen to somebody else? Open your mouth. One of the reasons why I'm standing up here today is because of some adults getting to me. Saying, Todd, don't you do that. I remember going on a trip with the youth group. And a bunch of us kids were sitting in the back of the bus. And a lady named Mrs. Reed, she's in heaven today. We started singing some songs that we shouldn't have sung. And this lady looked back at us. She said, Todd, you shouldn't be singing those songs. That's all she said. And I did. Why don't some adults, when you see these kids going out the wrong way, why don't you say, hey, that's the wrong way. Don't go that way. The enemy's going to get you. Speak up. Wave the flag. Jump up and down. Got some girls that are boy crazy. They're going to let the enemy in. You got to be careful. Number four, we must let him rule without rival. We must let him rule without rival. Many in here would say they have the word, and they know the word. But can I say, does it dwell in you poorly? You may say you have the word, but does the word dwell in you poorly? Who knows you have the word? Who knows you're a Christian? Who knows your salvation testimony? Who can come by a casket one day and say, I know they're in heaven? Let them rule without rival. Get rid of the idols. Don't know what the idols would be. We know in America, one of the big idols in America is covetousness and greed. Because we have it so, so good. I was in a home, and maybe I'll use this illustration too. These kids were playing this. They were playing a basketball game. Y2, 18, 19, I don't know what it was. UK 28, whatever it's called. But they were playing this game. And we walked in. And I looked at the TV and I said, who's playing? And I didn't see the guys on the couch with the whatever they're called. The controllers. I looked and said, who's playing? And they said, Mr. Todd, that's a game. It's so real, isn't it? And it's becoming more realistic. We have it made. I mean, now you could talk to the remote control. Beam me up, Scotty. Channel 782. And you're scratching our head saying, wow, so much. Just the phones we have. I mean, I don't know what galaxy they're on now. What can those iPhones do? You know, huh? I'd be afraid of those iPhones. I talked into my phone. This is the other day. I talked into it. I said, I don't know what I said. But nothing came up. And I'm waiting for you to say a command. This stupid phone. No, you ain't waiting for me to. You ain't waiting for me to say a command. I'm throwing you out this window. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But you know as well as I do, it's hard to put that down and pick this up. Amen. This is the book that one day will be open for every one of us in here. I tell the kids in my class this, regardless of what you think, this is the book that's going to be open. I can give a three-year-old a tablet, and that three-year-old, I've seen it. Zip, zoop, zoom, zoom, zom, zom, boom, zoom, zom, boom, zoom, 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 zoom. I'm telling the truth. This is the book that's going to be open one day, and each and every one of us is going to stand before this book and be judged out of this book. And there's a good number that don't know what this book says. And the reason why we don't know what this book says is because there's too many rivals in our hearts. There's too much in our hearts. There's too much we're contending with. And one man said, you don't understand, Mr. Wright. I got to make a living. I understand you got. We all got to make a living. But the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know what he's done? He's come in, hasn't he? And he's gotten us here. And he's gotten us off of these. To the place now where we're up in the wee hours of the morning. On the computer. It's your rival. Do you see Jesus yet? Have you climbed that sycamore tree? Have you climbed that sycamore tree? Has the Lord passed by? Because He wants to go to your house. Has He spoken to you today? Has He spoken to you? We must let Him rule without rival. Number five, we must yield ourselves as instruments to God's control. The Bible says, yield yourself. Yield. When we were boys, we used to play King of the Hill. Now, I don't ever see any kids playing that now. There may be kids in here that have no idea what that is. Or we used to play King of the Leaf Pile. Right? My brothers are over there. They came today. They know. We used to play King of the Leaf Piles. You know, you get into the middle of the leaf pile and somebody tries to throw you out. You're the king. Nobody wanted to give that up. You get to the top of the hill, somebody tried to knock you off the hill. Nobody ever wanted to yield that up. And so it is sometimes in our lives. There's something that you just won't let go. We won't surrender. I see this. I see this in my own home. We just won't let. We just won't let things go and give it to God and yield ourselves to God. And the reason why is because there are so many people that are climbing the sycamore tree, but you don't have God's will. You don't have any intention of doing anything for God. Because you don't have any intention of letting Him come to your house and hearing what He has to say. You're looking at a young man, old man, excuse me. Somebody's laughing over there. We're standing up here because of that. This church is full of people because of that. Not me. Because people have yielded themselves to God. Look down at Mr. Hall. I was in his sixth grade Sunday school class. That's what they call Mr. Hall, right? Yield themselves. We need to learn to pray more. We need to learn to give more. We need to learn to pass out more tracts. We need to learn to tell others about Christ. Turn back to our text. And I'm about done. Turn back to our text. To Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus, verse number 8, stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Zacchaeus came down off of that tree. He followed Jesus to his home. Something, when that door got shut, something happened. Something wonderful happened to Zacchaeus. Because we see the result of when Jesus comes in. Zacchaeus came out of that house. Zacchaeus said, I'm making it right. I'm making it right. Jesus got in here. Jesus changed me. And I'm making it right. I don't think people probably believe Zacchaeus because he was so hated. I don't think they believed that he had changed. But when he started handing out that money back to people, when he started handing out, when he started making things right to those people, I bet you people said, something happened. Jesus went to his house and look, something happened to him. How do you know? He's making things right. He's making things right. When Jesus comes in and he changes us and he fixes us, you know what we do? We got to make things right. We make things right. Have we climbed the sycamore tree? Has a Savior passed that way? What does he have for us? What does he have for us? Look and see. I would challenge everyone to look and see. When you go home today, when you're by yourself, just say, Jesus, what do you have for me? What do you have for me? I challenge you. I challenge you to allow something to happen because Jesus passed that way. I wouldn't want him to pass by me. We're at a place now, I want to grab him. Oh, you're not passing me up. No. If you keep walking, you're going to drag me along. I challenge you to go home. Find a quiet place. By yourself. To see if Jesus passes that way. The Bible says he's going to come to that house of a who? He's going to come to that house of a sinner. He's going to come to that house of a sinner. And by the way, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus wants to come to our house today.